friend of mine is a religious nun, a religious sister. Her name is Peg. And Peg was visiting her nieces and nephews, and her niece came home from religious education one Sunday, maybe it was this Sunday in the church calendar, and said, Aunt Peg, my teacher said something in class this morning. She said, we're supposed to love God more than anything. And Sister Peg said, well, yeah. And she said, more than mom and dad? And Sister Peg said, well, ultimately, you have to love them too, but ultimately. She said, more than grandma and grandpa? And Sister Peg said, well, you love them too, but you love God first. And the little girl said, well, it just doesn't seem right. I mean, I hardly know him. And I think she had an insight there that all of us need to keep in mind. All of us, no matter where we are in our life journey, are always in the process of getting to know God. And getting to know God in a way that's real, getting to know God in a way that's truthful, getting to know God in a way that cuts through the things that can become illusions in our lives. And if we do that, to the extent that we do that, to the extent that we really try to know God, we really try to see God, the way that the times that we really try to listen to God, our life is so much enriched, as is the lives of everyone that we touch. When we get to know God and make the basis of our love of God the basis of everything else and our love for all other people. How do we get to know God? Well, you know the ways, and you probably have your own ways. There's always Scripture. Scripture tells the story how, in the best of our tradition, our ancestors in the faith were able to see God as he was with them and accompanied them, how he forgave them, how he guided them, how he was with them when they made mistakes, and he was with them at their most incredible successes, how he made miracles happen, and how he stood by them when they were suffering. We have the example of Scripture. Scripture today in the first reading teaches us a really important lesson about the kind of God that we worship. We have the kind of God, we worship the kind of God who loves the underdog. He loves us when we're at our weakest, and when we're at our weakest and most vulnerable, God wants to be there to protect us. And so God wants to be there and protect the weakest among us, who in the time of the Scriptures were the widow, the orphan, and the alien. Those were people that had a special place in the heart of God because they were the most vulnerable. But we all have been vulnerable, and we know what it is to have God with us and have people to care for us and love us in those tender times. So Scripture is one way. Another way that we turn to God, of course, is through our prayer, whatever that means, through sound devotions like the rosary or through meditation or contemplation. Gratitude is a way to get to know God. To every day, try to look at things we're grateful for that day, to develop a mind and an eye that sees the way that God sends little things, moments of beauty, moments of grace, people that do kind things that help us to understand and see that God is present to us. Humor can be a wonderful way, and almost every piece of real humor is some kind of insight about that what is human, and when we look at what is truly human, we see the divine. Kathy Cullum and her family are here. Kathy's husband, Leo, was an airline pilot, I understand, and in addition to being a father and husband, he was one of the great cartoonists at The New Yorker. So if you've subscribed to The New Yorker, he's one of the people that with humor opened up insights about the human condition. One that I loved, I had clipped for a while, there was an elephant on a therapist's couch, and the elephant was saying, really, I'm right there in the center of the room and no one seems to pay attention to me. God is like that a lot of the time, I think. Right there in the center of it all, and we don't pay attention to him. Humor. And finally, witness. If we just look around and we see people when they're at their best, it's so easy to see people when they're at their worst, but look for people at their best. And when we do, we get a little bit of a glimpse about what it means to love and how God loves. I'll tell you, this happened last week. I was meeting a friend of mine in the alley. She lives right up the alley, right behind the church, and she was going to give me something, and I got there a little early, so I'm sitting in the alley outside of her garage waiting for her to come down, and kind of kitty-quartered down the alley, I see a young kid in his 20s, and he rushed down the stairs, and he had three bags, and one was his trash, and he put it in the trash can. The other one was a white plastic bag, but it looked like it had cans in it, and so He closed the lid of the recycling bin, and he put that can, that bag of cans, outside the recycling container. And then from the third bag, he pulled out six cans of food and arranged them in a row on top of the recycling container, and then very quickly ran upstairs. And this seemed very odd to me. 2 minutes later, a guy comes by on a bike, and the baskets on his bike are full of cans. And he stops at the recycling bins leading up to this apartment. And then he stops at this apartment, and the cans are already right there, so he just takes the cans and he puts them in his bag. And then he sees the food, and he looks at all of them, and he only took five of the six cans and left one there, and he rode off. Now, I don't want to read too much into what the young guy did, but somehow he noticed the guy, knew his routine enough and cared enough that just that little act speaks volumes about somebody who sees something in their world and takes a little bit of time to show love in a way that, I mean, the homeless man did not leave a thank you note and didn't even seem to be aware that it was done intentionally, but a beautiful little gesture. And we have all sorts of witnesses like that, all sorts of things that people do every day and that so often go unnoticed.